Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Welcome to Mother's Day weekend. Hello, Mr. Napolitano.
Good morning, Steve. I'm betting the buyword market is pretty quiet this morning.
It is very, very quiet. Not even Paul is here buying breakfast.
Oh, that's a change, eh?
Well, wow. Four years ago. The last time you bought it.
I did see that Facebook post. You guys look much younger, as I imagine it.
Yeah, we might be a little more gray these days, Steve, for sure.
Hey, listen, I got to tell you.
I was hoping to see you guys, but we're going to try Zoom next week, I think, eh?
Yeah, we'll try Zoom next week as soon as
awesome.
Paul figures out the technology.
Hey, keep in mind.
Got to get off the flip phone. Paul, you can't do it with the flip phone.
Whatever, guys, whatever.
Hey, good news for Paul this week. They approved Pfizer for 12 years and over, so he should be getting his shot soon.
Let's just say that he's familiar with the Pfizer products.
Very nice. Paul, we're off to our...
Yes, buddy.
I believe a couple of weeks ago you said that if the numbers were crazy this month that you would buy Steve and I breakfast for a year. And I think you said 30% you'll buy us breakfast. But you know what? Steve and I will up it to 40%. How was last month?
Well, Kike, let's preface this by saying we're comparing this to April of last year. In April of last year, we went through an absolute killing. We were down 55% number of sales. So keep in mind when I give you the numbers, they're a little bit skewed. So the number of sales,
but it's the values. The values I'm more concerned with. Right?
Yeah, but so let's talk about the numbers.
I think most
sales.
People are more concerned with the values, right?
Well, let's talk about the number of sales and the values. So the number of sales in April alone was up 163%. So we went from 911 sales to 2402. The average sale price in April alone was up 40.9%. So we went from 476,000 as the average sale price to 671. Now, when we look at year to date, the number of sales is up 62.2%, which I think is a higher number than I thought it was going to be. It's skewed for sure.
Yeah.
And year to date, the average sale price is up 32%. So our average sale price right now went from last year at the end of April from 496 to this year 655.
Wow.
Now, that sounds bigger than it is, but keep in mind, at the end of March, our average sale price was 646, and now we're at 655. So when we compare it to where we were in March, it's not as drastic as it actually looks. But when you compare it to April of 2020, you're like, wow, that's like a lot of money up. You know, it's 160,000 ahead of where we were last year at this time. So, you know, it sounds big, and I've talked to a lot of the realtors about it, a lot of my realtors about it, and I'm like, guys, make sure that you compare April to March of this year, not April to April, because if you compare April to April, the numbers are insane.
But we knew that was
for the number of sales, yes. For the number of sales, even May will be the same, right? May will probably be identical.
Well, last May, the number of sales was down 44%, and the values were up. Their values were up last May. I can't remember the number, but it was like 5% or something. What I'm looking at also is the inventory. Our inventory is starting to hit the market now. In fact, in April, the new listings increased 19% higher than the five-year average, with more than 400 listings hitting more than March of 2021. So the listings are starting to hit the market. Our inventory is down 17.4%. The condo inventory is actually up 11.5%. So, you know, in January, the inventory was down 43%. February was down 45%. March was down 39%. And now we're at 17%. So the inventory is starting to hit the market. We're starting to become a little bit more of a balanced market. I mean, we're still in a strong buyer's market, but we're starting to trend to a more of a balanced market, which is great. We're seeing the West and the South that are still... It's still a crazy market. There's still lots of bidding wars. I think the East is starting to slow down a little bit as more listings hit the market.
So where are we at for listings now, Paul?
We're just under 1,600. We're at 1,565. For all you realtors that listen, I'm using areas 601 to 9404. So we're at, we're just under 1,600 listings, which is more than we've ever had. In the last 7 days, our listings have outpaced our sales, which is also good news. So there is more opportunity for buyers in today's market. And sellers, just have to temper your expectations now that we're not in the Jan-Feb-March market. We're in a little bit of a slower market where people were hitting home runs before. You know, now people are hitting doubles and potentially triples.
But prices are still going up.
Prices are still going up, absolutely. I mean, like I said, year to date, we're up 32%.
From last month, we're up how much?
Last month our average sale price was at $646, and now we're at $655. So we didn't see a huge increase month over month, but it's still a healthy increase. I'm very cautious to use these numbers against last year's numbers, mainly because, you know, we started the pandemic, no one knew what was going on. People were, you know, they're sitting on the sidelines and not doing anything with their homes. And if you remember the inventory last year, I mean, there was nothing on the market, absolutely nothing. But at the same time, buyers weren't looking to buy in April and May last year. They were sitting on the sidelines and, you know, sitting in their house and wondering what's going on with this new COVID thing that we're going through.
Yeah, they were the last. They were the 2 months that we really took a hit last year, right?
Well, yeah. So yeah, we were down 55% in April, 44% in May. We started to make our comeback in June. I think we were down 2.1 or 1.2% in June, and then July we were up again. So, yeah. But interestingly enough, even through the start of this pandemic, the average sale price never plateaued and never went down. It stayed up every single month, mainly because people that had to buy, there was no inventory in the market, so they were paying premiums to be in the market. But it's just, you know, I think we're starting to see a little bit more of a healthy market. I mean, I checked an area this morning for a friend. There was three properties available and three conditionally sold, which you don't see very often, but conditionally sold. So we're starting to see more conditionally sold properties. I've seen realtors on Facebook posting how they've bought their first property with conditions. So that's going to become more of a norm as we head into the summer months, for sure.
That's good for your clients, eh, Frank? A little safety net?
No, it's fantastic for the lenders and for ourselves, because the pressure's on us. If we get an offer without financing, the pressure all falls on our shoulders to make sure that we can get that approval in place, and we cross our fingers that the value is there and that there aren't any hiccups. So, I mean, we had one a couple of weeks ago where the client absolutely told us they were full-time, no ands, ifs, or buts, not on probation, started in September, and then the employer says, yeah, they're working full-time hours, but there's no guarantee of hours. It's like, well, that's a game-changer. But, again, I mean, you know, that's why I think it's imperative to try and get as much of the information and the documentation to back up the information up front, because then that alleviates some of the headaches one might have about putting an offer in without conditions. But if there's one, even 3 to 5 business days, I mean, it used to be 7 to 10 days, even 3 to 5 business days is plenty enough, at least, to be able to secure financing and the value, you know, ensure that the value is exact, will be accepted based on what they paid for it.
But what happens with late appraisals, Frank?
Well, you know what we're seeing is less and less appraisals happening the last few weeks. Number one, you know, what's happened is there's title insurance companies out there that generally most people know when they go to the lawyer and they buy a property, they get title insurance, which gives them some protection against, you know, faults. You know, let's say a deck was built without a permit and the city demands it be taken down. You know, that's where title insurance comes in, or somebody's built something on your property, title insurance comes in. But the interesting part is now they've expanded into the appraisal business, where what these title insurance companies are doing is going to lenders and saying, okay, pay us a certain amount per file, and what we'll do is we will insure the value of the property so that if something goes south and you have to take the house back and it sells for less based on the value was wrong by our records, then we'll cover you. So
does that include an appraisal from the insurance company, Frank?
Well, the default insurers are on their own, but even they're using some of the title insurance companies information and all the data that they've gathered. So it's fluid though, right? I mean, you know, these programs work really well when it's less fluid of a market that we're seeing now. But when, you know, properties, like Paul says, I mean, you know, some properties are going nuts. Still some neighborhoods are going nuts and others aren't. And the systems that they have aren't caught up yet. I mean, they can factor in properties sold 30 days ago, but the ones that have sold in the last 2 or 3 weeks sometimes aren't registered yet.
We should see that leveling off now, eh, Paul?
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? Talking about Frank's industry, I have some friends that obviously Frank knows a lot of the people that I know in the industry too, and they're it must have been very stressful for you going through this, Frank. I mean, when people are coming to you and saying, I have to go in firm, and it puts a lot of pressure on you.
Huge. You know what? Pressure on them too, because the risk is on them. And I say to them, listen, based on what I see, we're not going to have a problem. But what I cannot control is the value that the lender or the default insurer. And again, I mean, if somebody calls me and says, Frank, I'm buying an $800,000 house, but it's listed for $699, but I'm putting $300,000 as down payment, well, then that's okay, because they've got the backup plan. Even if the house appraised at $700,000, we could still get the financing based on the down payment that they have.
Yeah.
The issue becomes when they have 5 or 10% down, and they don't have anywhere else to fall back on, so that if the value came in lower than what they paid for it, they're responsible for the rest, and they've gone in without a financing clause, well, that's problematic.
You haven't seen too many deals go south, though, have you, Frank?
We have not. We are so fortunate in that, again, I mean, we are the market, you know, the default insurers and, you know, the realtors have done a really good job of at least, you know, staying on and marking down. The real estate board has done a good job of just keeping track of all the numbers that have sold and where they've sold so that the comparables are there for the appraisers. But, you know, if you're selling on your own, you know, for those that don't sell with realtors, that data is not kept. So therefore, you know, that data will never count as a comparable until the sale actually goes through and the title changes hands. That's the only time that an appraiser will have access to that information. So, you know, most appraisers will only use MLS listed properties, and that's an advantage for sure. And that's a reason to list with a realtor for sure, because, and again, the other reason I always say is lenders are more likely to avoid a physical appraisal if it's MLS listed, and the likelihood of a private sale avoiding an appraisal is pretty slim usually.
You know what, in this market we have seen, and you'd think it would be opposite because of how crazy it's a seller's market, but I've seen less and less sort of near postings and FSBOs. I'm seeing more people listing with realtors in this market, and we're seeing a lot of circumstances when they're listed with a realtor, they're getting a lot more money than they would have if they would have tried it on their own.
Well, would you take a chance without an agent in this market? No, thank you.
No, because, you know, listen, the myth is anyone can sell a house in this market, and the truth is anyone could sell a house. The problem being, do you want to sell it for $10,000 over asking or $100,000 over asking? If you list with the right person, the right marketing machine, you're going to get a lot more money in your pocket than if you try to do it cheap.
Well, and fewer headaches down the road, obviously.
Way fewer headaches. I mean, I'm hearing nightmares about people who are trying to do it on their own, and especially in this market. I've never seen a market ever since I've been in real estate that's a stronger market to be listing with the right people.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Well, Frank and Paul, you know how you know it's raining? Mike joins us.
Oh, hot tub Mike.
Yeah, I'm bored. No, I'm actually calling for Paul because I can't get a hold of him to invest, so I thought I'd just call him on the radio.
It's much easier, much easier this way. I figure you were calling in for Mother's Day wishes so you don't have to buy cards.
No, I just left the dishes to the kids and I said, I got to get on, hop on the radio. So. But, no, you know what? Wow. We had, because I was on the show, last weekend speaking about, the Mortgage Investment Corp, we had taken at least seven or eight, maybe even 10, because there was a few that came in through different channels calls. And I didn't even know you guys had that many listeners. True story. My goodness. What? And Paul, I have to hand it to you because one of the things that we got a lot of calls on with respect to investing was investing in a corporation. And you had asked that question right before we finished up last week. And so many calls came in and I realized that, you know, what an opportunity this is because a lot of individuals sit on dollars in their corporate accounts. They don't want to necessarily put it in the stock market. They put it into a guaranteed investment certificate. They might be getting, you know, 0.5 or 0.3 or, you know, whatever on a short-term investment. So that had actually generated a number of calls for people looking for opportunities to invest corporate dollars. So I wanted to call in and let you know that that was such an important question. And wow, your listeners are have been activated and calling us all week long. So it's been absolutely amazing.
Well, congratulations on your commission, Paul.
Yo, I was going to say, Mike, what's my commission on that?
It was fantastic. I couldn't believe it. You know?
You know what?
But, like right after the show, we started having some calls, and then all throughout the week, we had some calls as well. So,
is that an avenue that really wasn't explored, Mike?
You know what? I do. Like, I have a handful of investors that way, including, you know, Frank and myself. We do invest through the Mortgage Investment Corp. But with our other entities, so Mortgage Brokers Ottawa, for example. It's something that, you know, we talk about using registered funds a lot. So I had a couple of calls that way too, but we talk about using registered funds, tax-free savings accounts, you know, RIFs, RSPs, whatever it is. And of course, we talk about non-registered funds, but I've never actually spent the time talking about using corporate funds because people don't necessarily want to take that money as income to switch it over into their personal name. So quite often they have it sitting in a corporate account, not doing anything. And of course, you can't use the corporate funds to be in a tax-free savings account or anything either. So this actually opened up an avenue that people, decided to pick up the phone or flip us a note through our website. So
that seems like a home run for a corporation.
It really is. I mean, you know, listen, I often have people saying, listen, I got to figure out other ways to get taxed down because I'm actually generating too much. Like I have had those conversations with pensioners sometimes because they're generating too much income. So they look at this and saying, geez, I'm getting 7.5% on this investment. You know, maybe I got to move some around a little bit or maybe restructure it, put some in more into the registered side, tax-free savings side. But
well, there's a nice problem to have, huh?
What's that?
I said there's a nice problem to have.
It really is. So we don't mind taking those calls and kind of helping them restructure some things. But I have had that conversation before.
So all of these calls, Mike, and you didn't get one from Paul?
Yeah, I'm still waiting on Paul's. I'm sure. I missed his call or, you know. But
I did call Mike, but maybe your number, I had your number wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But I know. I mean, Paul and I have chatted a little bit about it. I don't know, he's busy. And he also invests, you know, in real estate directly as well, which is equally as important good quality investing as well. But investing in real estate, physical real estate, doors, isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think we can all appreciate that. It's not always as easy as it seems. And over the years, I mean, I've owned and operated, and then I have friends that might try to get into it and say, I don't like dealing with the tenants. You know, it's not for me. And, you know, I lose too much if I go to a property manager. So this is a great alternative to investing in real estate in Ottawa, but not having to own and operate and or deal with property managers. So,
Mike, how many years have you been operating?
Just under 7 now on the NIC structure. So since inception, since 2005, we've been doing the private lending side. And in fact, I had kind of switched my portfolio over because, Paul, I was much like you. I was invested in real estate and doors. And then I slowly... You know, the family was starting to grow up a little bit, and I want to spend more time. You know, I didn't want to spend as much time, you know, trying to fill vacancies and, you know, doing repairs, et cetera. So I started doing more private lending. So that's really when it started. But then in 2014 is when we launched the NIC side, the Mortgage Investment Corp structure. And that is where you actually just become a shareholder within the diversified pool of mortgages. So there's not one investor that has one mortgage or this mortgage or that mortgage. It were just, you know, the shares that you would buy or one of the callers would potentially purchase. It's the exact same shares that I hold and Frank holds and, you know, all of our investors.
And so what's been your average return, Mike?
We target between 7 and 7.5. Our 7-year average is 7.7.
Wow.
Yeah. So mid-7s is what we're still on target for this year. I never like to, you know, overpromise and underdeliver, so I always kind of give a range of between 7 and 7.5, that's where we're comfortable. You know, I never want to chase return. That, you know, our goal is not to chase money out the door and put it in harm's way on, you know, risky mortgages. I'd rather, you know, be a little more conservative and be maybe a little bit lower in their overall rate of return than, you know, then chasing a big higher return. And that's where we're, you know, we've got a proven track record over the past, you know, 6.5, almost 7 years now. We have not had one power of sale within our portfolio.
Where can we go to get more information, Mike?
Yeah, go to advancedmic.com, advancedmic.com, or
MIC.
MIC.com, yep, advancedmic.com. Or some investors, potential investors, found us just through the Mortgage Brokers Ottawa website as well, and then clicked through investing and came to us that way. So,
you know what, Mike, as you've been talking, I've been sort of jotting down some numbers and all that, and I looked at all the dollars that I spent on your business partner's breakfast. I would have been a millionaire. if I would have given you that money to you.
So close, eh, Paul?
So I blame Frank for this.
Yeah, no wonder he hasn't called you yet.
I'm saving my money for when the world opens up and I got to spend money on your business partner.
Exactly.
All right, anyway, Mike, any Mother's Day wishes before we let you go?
Yes, to my lovely wife, Terry Lynn, and to my mother, Eva, at Manitic Place Residence, and, of course, my mother-in-law, Linda. Yes. Absolutely. And that's for all the amazing mothers out there, because we all know, geez, just how important they are.
Yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely. In fact, yeah, I'd be a very skinny man if it wasn't for all the beautiful mothers out there. So.
Hey, go get on your boat now.
A little rainy for that. Anyway, thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you, Michael.
See you, Mike.
Have a good one.
521 Talk, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
We are back. Frank Napolitano, MortgageBrokersOttawa.com. Paul Rushforth, Paul Rushforth Real Estate. Paul, as more and more people get vaccinated, are you seeing more of an interest in real estate, or is it even possible to get more interest in real estate these days?
Well, you know what? Since this latest shutdown, we have seen a little bit of a slowdown as people sit on the sidelines a little bit more. And I think as the world starts to open up and people get vaccinated, I think we're going to see even a hotter real estate market. I really do. I know this month so far started off to be a little bit slow, so we'll see what the May numbers are like. But yeah, no, I think it will get hotter and hotter as people get vaccinated and the world opens up.
When do you see us getting back to a load of listings again? Or do you?
Who knows? It's, you know, we've seen over the last 5 years our listings have tailed off. I mean, in 2015, 16, 17, we were carrying in the, you know, 800, 900,000 listings at this point right now, and we're at 1565. So we're really light on listings. We've been like this probably for the last 3 years, light on listings, but it just keeps getting lower and lower and lower. You know, it's you know, the way lumber is going right now, not as many new homes being built, the prices are skyrocketing. It's we need to get listings on the market. Unless we get product on the market, it's hard to get listings on the market. But I think it will change. I mean, I think we're going to start seeing, I mean, we're already seeing it. Remember, I talked about, you know, over the last, our five-year average, we're 19% higher than the five-year average. So they are coming. There's listings hitting the market. The problem is they're just being absorbed so quick. And it's going to continue. I mean, it's definitely going to continue. I think we're going to see, you know, as hopefully May 20th, when they decide to lift some of these restrictions, I think we're going to see more people starting to get their house on the market, because there are people right now who I know are sitting on the sidelines because they do believe it's going to slow down a little bit as we go through this shutdown. I think on May 20th, if they do open up some of our our closed businesses and restaurants and bars and things like that, I think we might see more listings pour onto the market, which will be great, because if we can get more listings on the market, we lean more towards a balanced market, I think it's going to be great for sellers and great for buyers, because over the last probably, you know, I'd say 15, 16, 17 months, this has been a really unfair market for buyers. It really has. And it's been a home run for sellers, but it's been a real frustrating time for buyers. And, you know, I have a lot of my agents who predominantly work with buyers, and they're frustrated because they're putting sometimes 5, 6, 7 offers in for people that they're not getting successful. And I'm talking to some of my agents about what they're doing and what they're going in at, you know, obviously going in firm, how are they positioning their offer? And I'm like, what? That offer didn't get it? And they're like, no, it went for like $30,000 more. So it's been a very, very unfair market for buyers, and I think that's going to shift a little bit as May and June and July approaches and we start getting more listings on the market. And you know what? I would love to see us into the 2,000 listings. I mean, obviously right now, 1565, that's the highest we've been. Well, it's probably the highest we've been in
a year, anyway.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we've been higher than this, so it's we definitely need more product on the market.
So would now not be the time to list then?
I think the best time to list was last week, the week before that. Like, get your house on the market. If you're looking to list your house and you're worried about this slowdown and then, you know, this shutdown that we're going through right now,
there's lots of buyers still looking for properties. So do not delay. You know, I have lots of sellers who are telling me that, you know what, I want to wait a little bit. I want to wait for the next couple months. Well, you know what, the next couple months we might be, you know, teetering around 2,000 listings on the market. Now you have more competition against you, and you know, now you're probably not getting the price you want because of that. So there's nothing on the market. Get your house on the market. You're going to get it sold, even if you have a late closing date. You know, you're the seller. You're in the driving position. You can determine what closing date you get and what price you get. So get it on the market now before we get back into that balanced market.
And still buy before you sell?
Oh, you have to. You have to. There's not enough product out there. If you decide to sell first, you're going to be scrambling to find something to buy. So I strongly suggest that you buy something first. Your house will sell. That's the biggest scramble, is trying to find something rather than get your home sold. So I would definitely suggest you're buying first.
Well, hopefully in the next few months it'll get a little easier for buyers. Hopefully.
Well, I think it will. I honestly think it will. I mean, we've seen, like I mentioned, there are listings pouring on the market. Our listings are now outweighing our sales during the week, which is great news. So we're getting more listings on the market than we are sales. And I think it's only going to get better and better and better for that. So buyers are going to have more choice. It might slow down the market a little bit. Yeah, is it going to be a little bit more frustrating for sellers who are looking to hit that grand slam? It might be. But, you know, you've already made all that equity in your house over the last 18 months. Yeah. Just by what the market's done. I mean, but we are still seeing some sellers who are a little bit greedy out there, that they think they're, you know, last year maybe their house was only worth, you know, $600,000, and now their house is worth, you know, $850,000, and they're like, no, I want $1 million. Well, last year your house was worth $600,000 and you want $1 million?
Like, there's always that, though, right?
Look, we're running into it all the time. We have people who are listing their house, and they're saying, we're telling them it's worth $800,000, and they're saying to us, yeah, okay, we can list at $800,000, but unless I get $1 million, I'm not going to sell.
Yeah.
And that it's happening over and over and over again. And sellers have to temper their expectations, because you probably could have done that in January and February and, you know, and March. But as we got into April, we were seeing more competition. We were seeing things slow down. And therefore, you weren't getting those home runs that you thought you were getting. However, because of what happened in the market over the last 15 months, you were hitting a home run regardless. So just remember that if you're on the sell side, that you've already hit that home run.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We say hello to Eli. Hello, Eli.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I just have a difficulty, like, accepting, you know, we're being told that it's not just you. I mean, it's ORED. It's, you know, we're being told that prices are continuously going up, but we can see that prices are actually going down. And it just, I mean, it's pretty simple logic. I mean, if you have, the market is flooded with inventory right now compared to previous months, like January and February. And so you have less people going to even see the house, you have less offers, and then you have less over asking offers at the same time. So, I mean, I can point out multiple examples in my own neighborhood where prices a year ago were at least as high or even a little bit higher than the prices that are selling today. And there are houses that I've seen, like I went to a couple of showings last month where I showed up to the showing to and I spoke to the listing agent, and they told me I was the first person who even showed up, and this was like a day after it was posted.
Are you not you're not seeing that, are you, Paul?
No. What neighborhood are you in, Eli? I'm curious.
I'm in Riverside Park, Mooney's Bay. There's a house that was listed on Flannery Drive, and beautiful home, move-in ready, didn't need anything. The kitchen needed updating, to be honest, but other than that, it was perfect condition. It didn't even sell, but they listed high. I mean, they listed $699. I mean, that same house, you know, a house that needed total renovation in Riverside Park, in Mooney's Bay area, that needed everything, got $750 firm, no conditions. And people were, like, you know, fighting each other to get it. And it, like, that needed a minimum $100,000 just to make it look like, just to make it livable. And then homes that are, you know, move-in ready are getting under $700,000 today.
Yeah, but you don't see prices going down, do you, Paul?
Absolutely not. We're not seeing that. And, you know, Eli, you made the comment that listings are in the market. Yeah, sure, they are flooding the market right now, but we're still only at 1,565 listings on the market. So what's happened is there's so much pent-up buyer demand. Buyers have been sitting on the sideline because they couldn't find anything to buy. And now, sure, they're flooding the market, but all those buyers that have been sitting on the sideline are now back into the game. So, and they're absorbing all those listings hitting the market. It's going to continue. So I don't know any areas in Ottawa that are actually going down in value. As more homes hit the market, as there's more competition, will we start to see prices sort of stabilize a little bit? Yes, we will. But I just think that there's been so much pent-up demand by buyers that I would say there's a huge chunk of buyers that still haven't bought that are waiting to buy. So,
Frank, I'll bet you don't see people coming in asking for less money. Frank, I said, I bet you don't see people coming in asking for less money.
No, all the pre-approvals we're doing, our customers are calling us and saying, okay, so can we up it by 50,000, 60,000? Because the market has changed since we got pre-approved 3, 4, 5 months ago. Or they're looking at different types of homes now. So, you know, I think the case that Eli made is, I think it's a case-by-case basis. And, you know, there could be individual homes in certain neighborhoods that maybe don't attract as much attention. But overall, the numbers don't lie. I mean, the numbers say, and again, I mean, I'm still getting clients that are calling me asking me for a pre-approval letter for a specific property because they're putting an offer in and they want, you know, their realtor wants to have that letter in place to go with the offer because they're going to be up against multiple other people. So
here's the thing too. Here's the thing too. One comment that Eli made is he's talking about some homes that he thought were a little bit overpriced and they weren't getting any showings. Well, realtors still have to do their job and keep abreast of what's going on in the market. And like I said, it's such a fluid market. It's changing daily. So if you're a realtor that hasn't done your homework and you're still thinking that the market's absolutely insane and you're going to go hit that home run, you're going to price it way over what you should, for sure. Buyers are still smart. They're still doing their homework. They know when a house is overpriced. And if it's overpriced, they're not going to show it. So if you have a listing out there that you're not getting any showings on, it's either condition or its price.
Yeah, that rule's never changed, right, Paul?
It's never changed. Even in a hot market, you can still overprice a property. I know it felt like in, you know, January, February, March that there's you could ask any price, but it's changing a little bit now where realtors got to do their homework, see what's happening in the area, what's their competition, how many homes are on the market, and then price it accordingly. And overpricing, even in a hot market, is a huge mistake. And if it's overpriced, it's the realtor's problem. It's the realtor's fault.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
We're back. This must be the only way you can get a hold of Frank, eh, Sherry?
You know it.
Sherry and I talk quite often during the week. That's not true. Sherry, by the way, Paul, is the president of Mortgage Brokers Ottawa.
Oh, wow. So basically she has to take care of you and Mike.
Pretty well.
Boy, how'd you get the short straw, Sherry?
That's a job description, trust me, no one wants.
President slash babysitter?
Cat herder, yeah.
Yep. But as president, Sherry did something that was quite special yesterday, and so tell us about it, Sherry.
Well, this week I saw on social media an ad as a way to say thank you to nurses at the Ottawa Hospital, as this is Nurses Week. I shot that out to we have an internal Facebook group and said, hey, is anyone interested? And immediately many people responded saying, yes, I'd love to help out. So the idea was that you contribute and it sends a gift to a nurse at the Ottawa Hospital, as well as a donation. A portion of it is a donation to the Ottawa Hospital Foundation COVID Relief Fund. And actually also the third benefit is it helps the local business, the ones who are putting together these gift kits, a company called Gift Better. So we had a good response, and actually initially, I think most importantly, we have a few nurses who are close to our team, spouses of Sarah Bissick's, is Dan Bissick's wife, and
Brigitte Alberton is Kyle Miller's wife, and Clara Japers Fair, I don't know if I'm saying that right, is Brian Cork's new bride, and they all gave us a thumbs up as a good, they would appreciate it as a gift from, as nurses themselves, they would appreciate it. So,
nice, nice.
Yeah, so then when I put it out more formally, we got, we're at this point, we're at 268 gifts and contributions to nurses across the Ottawa Hospital. So we put the order in, and I can tell you they were a little surprised when we put our large order in, but I think everybody's feeling really good about contributing.
That's fantastic. Is it
Sherry, what was the company? What was the company name?
So the company is called Gift Better, but if you go to the Ottawa Hospital Foundation, there's a link on there to thank a nurse. And they send you a little gift basket to a nurse with a thank you card and saying you're a rock star or those kind of things. So it's a nice little, we thought it was both the sentiment and the gift itself we liked.
Well done.
Awesome. That's amazing. Love your story.
Yeah, that's the Mortgage Brokers Ottawa family. I mean, that's the agents. I mean, corporately we contributed as well, but you know, our agents absolutely ran with this, and this came out yesterday morning. So we did this in pretty well 7 or 8 hours. You know, 270 kits is pretty impressive. And I know that I spoke to a couple of the mortgage agents that were out of the office yesterday, and they plan on contributing when they get back to the office on Monday. So
see what happens when you put in a good president.
Yeah. Amazing, eh? No, we are very lucky. Our agents are very lucky as well, and they know it.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too.
You know what I'll do for this, Frank, actually? I think what I'll do is I will auction off one of Mike's boats, and we'll see how much money we can raise for one of Mike's boats, or one of Mike's hot tubs. We could do that, too.
How about one of his properties?
Yes, one of his properties. Yeah, yeah. Hey, so Frank reminded me, Steve, yeah, that next week when we do our Zoom, next week is show number 700.
100.
Wow, we really should be much better.
We should be so much better.
Right? We should be so much better.
700, that's amazing.
And what were prices on our first show? 200 and change, right?
260, well, 270, if I remember the average price.
That would have been back in what year? 2007?
2007. Yeah,
it would have been $275,000 was the average sale price in Ottawa.
And today?
Yeah. Today we're at $655,000 is the average sale price.
And what's the average residential now, Paul?
The average residential is $734,000 year to date.
Wow.
Yeah, $734,000 year to date.
That's crazy.
Well, even a few years ago, there were 12,000 listings. So, you know, when we talk about listings are booming right now, it's 1,570. I mean, that's, wow, what a difference.
What a difference for sure. Hey, we never covered rates quickly, Frank. Any change?
Actually, the bond market softened a little bit this week. So at least the threat of rates going up seems to be gone. But you're still in the ones. So, you know, if you're looking for a high ratio purchase, your rates will be in the high ones. And otherwise, they're in the low twos. So rates are still historically fantastic.
Nice. Birthdays?
Birthdays, just a couple. Anissa Lancioni, who's part of our MIC, celebrating her birthday. And David Andre, a new agent of ours up in Cornwall, who's absolutely doing so well, is celebrating his birthday this coming week as well.
And I have one of my super agents, Ryan Angus. It's his birthday today, so happy birthday, Ryan. And I want to wish my mother a happy Mother's Day, and all the wonderful mothers out there, happy Mother's Day.
Same here. To my mom, my favorite mother-in-law, my beautiful wife, and to all moms out there, happy Mother's Day.
Yep. Happy Mother's Day.
Ditto that for me. Have a great week, gentlemen.
Have a great week, everybody.
Businesses and charities, everyone.
Absolutely.